Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner, and the date today is January the 9th, 2011. It's been a very bad weekend because of the assassination attempt on the life of a U.S. senator in Arizona by a person who more and more looks as though he might be mentally ill. Of course, it would be a terrible thing if he weren't mentally ill and he decided rationally that he was going to do it for some political reason. It seems that they always find people who assassinate others, such as Oswald, to be mentally ill. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they are. From my readings of Oswald, he seemed to be a very disciplined person who worked with the CIA, went to Russia, learned the Russian language, came back here, worked with CIA agents in the New Orleans area, and then stepped forward after he was accused of assassinating the president and simply said, "I have been framed." And before he could have his day in court, he was not only framed, but he was murdered. It's strange how these things just seem to happen. You would think that in a country like ours, that you would eventually have someone shooting and killing people. But it always seems like they shoot a group of them, if possible. And it's very disturbing. Is this a copycat type of thing? Do people panic when they start shooting? They want to shoot as many as they can? I can't really figure it out. This young man had never shot anyone before, but all of a sudden he was shooting and shooting and shooting until 16 people had been injured, 5, 6 of whom died, and it just seems kind of strange. What in the world would cause someone to suddenly cross over the line like that? One of the effects of the killings was that lawmakers called for toning down the political rhetoric in Washington and all across the country following the shootings in Arizona. We live in a world of violent images and violent words, but those of us in public life and the journalists who cover us should be thoughtful in response to this and try to bring down the rhetoric, which I'm afraid has become pervasive in our discussion of political issues, Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, told CNN's State of the Union. The comments came a day after Arizona Representative Gabrielle Giffords was shot, along with 19 others, by a man outside of a supermarket in Tucson. 6 people died, and suspect Jared Lee Loeffner was taken into custody by police. Senator Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee, told CNN, "We have to be very careful about inputting the motives or the actions of a deranged individual to any particular group of Americans who have their own political beliefs." He added, "We ought to cool it, tone it down, treat each other with great respect, respect each other's ideas, and even on difficult issues like immigration or taxes or health care law, do our best not to inflame passions. This ought to be a wake-up call to not only the members of Congress, but to the people of this country, that we are headed in the wrong direction," said Representative Emanuel Cleaver, Democrat of Missouri, on NBC's Meet the Press. "Congress meets a lot, but rarely comes together. We've got to watch what we say, and we're not doing it. It starts in campaigns." I think that I can agree with that. There's too many hot statements and hot buttons that are pressed during campaigns. What's really sad is that the country itself has lost all vision of where it should be going. It's supposed to be a country that gives respect to everyone and follows the Constitution. But I can tell you from my life and the way that Michael Chertoff, who headed Homeland Security, came after me with a vengeance because of my website Jewwatch, that once people get a high position of power, they're likely to use it against you. They're likely to do things against you that the Constitution forbids people to do. For instance, in my case, I'm a publisher and a reporter, and Michael Chertoff came down on me, as well as the Department of Justice, because they didn't like my website, which is entitled JewWatch.com. All the site does is to follow what Israel does and what the Judeo-Bolsheviks who ran the Soviet Union do. Whatever they've done that's mean and evil is reported. Now, if they don't want me to report that they murdered 65 million people in Russia, all they have to do is reverse history, go back, and not do it. However, it's impossible for the Judeo-Bolsheviks to reverse history. They can't go back and stop what was already been done. But what they can stop is more murder by Israel of the Palestinians in the region of the world where they have caused extreme disruption, extreme anti-humane actions and wars against the natives there. Now, I'm not saying that the United States isn't a culprit in doing the same thing on the North American continent, because we were. We murdered Indian after Indian after Indian. And in many ways, that's what Israel's doing to the Palestinians. They're treating them as indigenous Indian natives and killing them one after the other, and trying to get them to be so uncomfortable that they seek to leave so that all the land can belong to the Israelis. Which is wrong, it's immoral, but that's exactly what they're doing, and many historians will tell you that's exactly what they're doing. The Arabs are very well aware of it. They're the ones who have taken the brunt of the hatred and racism of Israel, a nation of people who came from the Soviet Union after killing 65 million people there, and then coming to Israel to live where they can't be deported for their crimes. That's a nice little shtick, actually. And they had a good run in Russia. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of killing and of establishing various Jewish mafias that would steal the workload of the poor Russians who were working in the factories. And they would capture the work products on trucks, and they would steer the trucks elsewhere where they would steal those products and sell them. Oh, they had a really good shtick going there for a long, long time. And some of this has been on TV. A lot of the Jewish mafia material was on the larger channels a few years ago. And they're exactly what brought the Soviet Union down, which is kind of ironic since these are the same people that started the Soviet Union. And yet, through their selfish excesses of stealing products and so forth from the people themselves, after they lied to the people and said, "Oh, come on, make the Soviet Union happen, and everyone will be treated equally," and then they came back and began stealing the products coming out of the factories by having armed men take over the trucks and steer them to other places, and then they would sell them on the black market for money. It's ironic, but it's not that it hasn't been done before. But when I reported it, people like Michael Chertoff, who are very anxious to stop terrorism in America, these people became terrorists against me. They'd simply terrorized me, and I looked into the eyes of the agents of the federal government, and I thought, you know, I'm looking into the eyes of the old USSR, the old Jewish USSR. Because they're going after me, trying to shut down my website, Jewwatch News, merely because they don't want anybody knowing the crimes that this tribe of people have committed, especially in the 20th century. And since they own most of the media, they've pretty much gotten their way on that. They've been able to keep the crimes they committed in Russia hidden from other people. And I exposed them. I pulled their dark secret out from under the rock where it was hiding, and I exposed it to public ridicule in the sunlight, the bright sunlight of ridicule, where everybody could see it and look at it and think, my God, you mean the Jews who claimed that they were victims of Nazi Germany made even more people their victims when they ran the Soviet Union? Oh my goodness, I never had any idea of that. And thus, the Jews and the federal government sought to contain me and my message. They sought to bring Jew Watch down so that no one could find out the real truth about what the Jews had done. And I have a lot of people say, oh, well, it's such a terrible name, Jew Watch. But the ADL had a group called Hate Watch on the internet. It was a website called Hate Watch. And they would decide what groups were hate groups, and they would put them on Hate Watch. And I looked at that, and I thought, this was 10 or 15 years ago, I'll just put up Jew Watch. I'll do the same thing to them. I'll just watch them. And I thought it was a nice irony that there's a certain poetic justice to it, and I found it rather amusing that I did that. And so I'll share that with you now, that I got Jew Watch from Hate Watch, from the ADL. And I also started printing my information on Jew Watch only after the ADL tried to silence me and my radio show in St. Louis, Missouri. They didn't want me telling what the Jewish folks had done in the Soviet Union. They didn't want me discussing how they had been killing Palestinians in Israel and doing whatever they could to get them to move out of there so they could steal their land. They didn't like that at all. And they accused me of being an anti-Semite, and I've never been an anti-Semite. Although anyone who mentioned the word Jew is certain to be called an anti-Semite, but first of all, no one who criticizes a Jew could ever be an anti-Semite, because there isn't a Jew in America that has Semitic blood. The Jews in America came from Eastern Europe, from the area around Kiev, where these Mongols had settled in a place called Khazaria, and they had converted to Judaism, not knowing anything about it, around 700 AD, because their King John told them they would do that, and that's what they did. And they've never been really good Jews. They've been kind of a grotesque, religious group of people who read books and try to decipher what the books mean, although they have no more idea of what the books mean than people who haven't even read them in many cases. And the books that they've read, like the Talmud, say really evil things, like that it's okay to kill a non-Jew. It's okay to charge interest for a non-Jew, but it's not okay to kill a Jew or to charge interest to a non-Jew, and hundreds of other things like that. And they also refer to non-Jew, to Jews as divine humans, and to non-Jews as cattle. We're nothing but cows and sheep, according to their Talmud, and they don't want you to know that. But I'll tell you, just to keep the record straight, that's what the Talmud says. It also says that the Virgin Mary was a whore who used to give various forms of sex to a Roman legionnaire, and that Jesus was the son of a Roman legionnaire and Mary. And these are not nice things to say about people, especially if you live in Christian countries and you want to get along with people. These are fighting words. These are words that are just horrible. You've probably never heard that they have said those things, but if you go to JewWatch.com, look for the Talmud, you will find a few of the statements in there, and there's a lot more than that. Or you can just go to Google and put anti-Christian statements in Talmud, and you will find entire lists of these statements. And this is a true fact. This is a true fact. And no matter what the Jews say, they can't alter that fact without rewriting the books. But even if they rewrote the books, the original books would have said what I said they said, which is that non-Jews are nothing but goyim, cattle, to be used, to be slaughtered, to be exploited. We are also the beasts of the field, who can be worked for very low wages or no wages at all, because we have no rights, but the Jews have all the rights. Allow me to take a few moments to discuss something significant that's going on in Israel. It's the usual thing where the Israelis are using their own obvious racism to try to make sure that people who are not Jewish cannot really participate in the so-called Jewish democracy. There's a wealthy Palestinian-American businessman who is fighting to take over a troubled real estate firm that builds Jewish-only housing units in Arab-dominated East Jerusalem. But racist right-wing Jewish groups have vowed to kill the deal. This man's name is Bashir Masri. He's a West Bank native. He holds American citizenship. He has offered to buy the debt-burdened Digital Investment and Holdings Limited, which has been building the 400-unit North Zion or Zion housing project overlooking the old city. Bondholders of the struggling company met late Sunday night to discuss Masri's bid, as well as a competing one, but no decision was announced. Attorneys for the bondholders did not return phone calls. If successful, Masri said he plans to even things out by selling the remaining 300-plus units to Palestinian buyers. After all, this was Palestinian land. To date, Digital has completed the first phase of the project and sold the units only to Jewish buyers, including many religious families. I think that's about as racist as it gets. Jews building things in Palestinian-owned Jerusalem and selling only to Jews so that Palestinians would be pushed out. Now, you couldn't do that in America with blacks. You couldn't do it in America with Mexicans. If you build something here, you have to make it purchasable by every race and every religious group imaginable. But over here in this racist Israel, which is supposedly America's best friend, which I think is a joke. It's certainly not our best friend. It's probably our best enemy. They do everything they can to chase the Palestinians out of their homeland so that the Jews only will be there. The takeover would mark a rare instance of a Palestinian entrepreneur winning control of a housing project that had been targeted at Jewish buyers in East Jerusalem. It seems that in most cases, developers in Israel have been buying property in Arab neighborhoods to establish a Jewish presence. Despite criticism from Palestinian and international groups who say such provocative construction hinders Mideast peace talks. Well, they say more than that. They also say that it's racism. And everybody knows that the Jews are racist. You know, these people in Jerusalem aren't keeping that a very big secret from the rest of us, and we've known that for years. All we have to do is see what they do in terms of isolating, killing, and moving Palestinians out of their homeland and replacing them with Jews. It doesn't get much more racist or genocidal than that. According to the United Nations, countries that have a policy of doing that are genocidal and racist, and it's illegal under international law. In one example, bulldozers in East Jerusalem tore down the vacant old Shepherd Hotel, clearing the way for construction of 20 Jewish housing units in the hole that was left. Speaking in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton condemned the demolition as a disturbing development that undermines efforts to establish a separate Palestinian state and contradicts the logic of a reasonable and necessary agreement between the parties on the status of Jerusalem itself. Mr. Masri says his purchase offer was accepted by the Committee of Bondholders a month ago, but when word of the pending deal was made public, racist conservatives, Israeli groups, and some Nafzian residents rallied to block it. They accused Masri of attempting to conceal his identity by using Israeli go-betweens and a Cyprus-based company. In fact, one resident called the deal an act of betrayal by facilitating a secretive transaction that would lead to the sale of Nafzian property to Arab interests, according to one angry letter published in an Israeli newspaper. Can you just imagine the racism of these people? It's just beyond even thinking about. These same selfish, idiotic Jewish Bolsheviks. And for those of you who don't know what Bolsheviks are, they're communists. The original name for communists was Bolshevik. They were in the Bolshevik Party. And these Jewish Bolsheviks, these Jewish communists, were responsible for the Civil Rights Act in America because the Jews here felt that black people should have an equal opportunity with everybody else. And then they gave money to Jerusalem at the same time, hoping to chase every non-Jew out of that country so they could have a racist country there. And the two-facedness of it is just, it's incredible. The irony is just hideous, absolutely hideous. One resident called the deal an act of betrayal by facilitating a secretive transaction that would lead to the sale of Nafzian property to Arab interests. Isn't that the most racist thing you've ever heard? A secretive transaction that would lead to the sale of Nafzian.